issues. I apologise. We've got no music, so you're just straight in with my lovely dulcet tones. Welcome to Some People Are On The Pitch. And if you're listening, you probably know the crack by now. You know why we're here. You know what we're about. We're going to be talking football, mainly Premier League football, sometimes Serie A, sometimes Serie B, sometimes La Liga, but mainly Premier League for the next 45 minutes or so. Hopefully some of it will be insightful, hopefully some of it will be funny, but all of it is 100% free, so don't go complaining too much. No one likes a complainer, do they, Sam?
No way.
Right, bit of housekeeping, I hate it, you hate it, at People On Pitch, Twitter, at People On Pitch, get us followed, send us a tweet.
No!
We'll never reply. iTunes.
Don't point at Sam, Bobby. He does things.
iTunes search bar. In your search bar, type Some People Are On The Pitch. Click download straight to your iTunes. Take us for a walk. Have us for dinner. Fly us to the moon. Right, let's meet the panel who will be helping me digest the massive meal that was the weekend's football. And we start centre-back and our resident angry young man. He is more northern than killing your brother's kestrel. He is frostier than a Nigel Pearson press conference. I can confirm that after this weekend, you should definitely not eat his pizza. It's Mario Samatelli, Sam Connolly.
Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Very good.
Lovely.
Pizza-less, that's
the name. Pizza-less, but alright.
Alright,
bro. Next, I go to the left wing, and our resident socialist. He's more to the left than everything Beyonce owns in a box. He hates the word banter. Don't get him started on paper fans or enforced fun. He's just recovered from his latest bout of tuberculosis. It's producer Payne, don't Payne, alive and well, Payne.
Just about, yeah. Kicking off.
We can confirm he is actually here.
For once.
We've not got a hologram Tupac style in producer Payne, don't get it. Next, up front, and Mr. Resident Aguero, star striker, great air, always injured. More into Spurs than the Knights of the Round Table. And he's got a bit of Pharrell feel to him this week. He's wearing a hat. He is happy. And everyone wants to hit him. It's Barry. Bond. James Bond. Pierce Brosnan. But I am going to start with you, Baz, because you are happy.
Yep.
And it's one man who's got you happy, let's be fair. Well, it is a team game, but it is one man. Mm. And that man is a Mr. Everyone's talking about him, Harry Kane. World Cup call up, England. Yep. England call up even, but yeah, World Cup. Gonna no doubt win England countless World Cups. Phones off, please, Sam. So he's gonna get an England call up. Should we be calm? Should we be excited? What are your thoughts, Baz?
Let's just all go mental.
Let's go crazy.
Let's go crazy because we've got the best player in the league. He's 21 years old and we've just signed him to a 5.5-year contract.
So you can sell him for more.
Yes.
Real. I was thinking about this, and they will sell Kane to Real eventually, and it's like the owner of Real's got a hold over Daniel Levy.
I think we're all getting a bit ahead of ourselves at the moment.
No, I tell you.
He's the best player in the league at the moment.
It's that special relationship they've got with Real, isn't it?
Yeah, that special,
yeah. That special relationship that sees all their best players going one way, like, and all of Real's best players going
like
elsewhere.
It's like Jafar and the Sultan. You will sell me Gareth Bale. I will sell you Gareth Bale. You will sell me Luka Modric. I was going to ask you boys if he deserves an England call-up, and they had a guy on the radio, and the guy was one of these from a radio from a betting company, and he went, yeah. So what are the odds on Harry Kane in the next England squad? And he went, let me just have a look. Yeah, it's 3-1. 3-1 on to be in the next England squad. He went, although I can confirm after this conversation, that's going to be taken off. So, like, just the advertisement.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course he's going to be in England squad.
Yeah. So, no, he was like, I'm going to change those odds now. after this conversation.
He's the best player in the league.
Well, I've said it three times now, Barry. I think you think that he's the best player in the league.
Well, Do you not agree?
On form at the
moment. He's the most on form player.
Best player in the league at the moment.
On form.
There's a difference between best and on form.
There is a difference between best and the best form player.
Well,
no, I agree with him. It's just his eyes. You should look at your eyes.
For listeners out there, Barry's eyes are piercing everyone in the room who disagrees with him.
I will not have a bad word said against Harry Kane tonight, alright? Yeah.
So, on the subject of Kane, obviously he's going to get an England call-up, but we have seen this before in terms of, in my football lifetime, ever when Owen came along, when Rooney came along, we caught the end of Gazza, Sterling to a certain extent. Do we build these players up and talk about and get them in the England team too fast? And he's playing for England now. Is there an argument that we should send players like Kane, Sterling, the Ox, if he's still under 21, he might not be able to the under 21 championships at the end of the season?
For me, I think they should go. I think Harry Kane should get a call up to England. Well, he will get a call up to the England squad. He has to be. But I think it would do him so much better, confidence wise, and everything to do with their football, is that they go to the under 21s this summer, win the tournament. And then they'll come back, and then the next main England tournament, was it the Euros in France?
Yeah,
is the year after. They're like, you want your players going there with a bit of swagger and a bit of confidence instead of going there scared and afraid of making mistakes, which is how England go to tournaments.
And it's like the Spanish lot as well. They were all playing with each other.
Yeah, Isco, and then
you know, was and the German, and the German World Cup winners.
Yeah. Exactly. So exactly. I don't see what detriment it has, all the players. Well, and then they'll be playing with
burnout questions,
Premier League
isn't it?
Managers argue about burnout. But these are young kids. And
yeah, but how much of that is to do with money?
Yeah, and not wanting them to get injured on. Which but you boys are pretty unanimous, you'd say, in that you'd like to see all those sort of Premier League stars who are under 21 go to the Euros at the end of the year.
The more they play together, the more they train together, the better it's going to be. And that the whole thing at the moment is how to improve the national team. And this is obviously a clear way of how to do it.
Absolutely. Right. Special mention for Piers Morgan's tweet just before the game. Harry Kane wouldn't even get on our bench. That got plenty of retweets after the game.
You know what? I really like Piers Morgan as well.
I think you're the only person in the country who likes Piers Morgan.
Usually,
Shamey lets himself down by being an utter prick.
Oh, Barry pounded the swear box, but as it's an insult of Piers Morgan, we'll wipe that. I have the power. Let's move on. We're moving on. We've had enough.
Barry wants to talk about this next week.
Payne, who do you think? Do you think Spurs can make the top four? Who's your top four, Payne's?
The definitive what will finish top four? What, or in your potential opinion? Top four? I think the top two are done already. Chelsea, City, that order, and then top four is gonna be made up out of anyone from Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal, and Man United. I think.
Give me two.
I reckon Southampton will fall off. Unfortunately, I'd like to see them finish fourth. And I think it will be Arsenal.
Arsenal.
They always get their stuff together at the end of the season.
So you're going Arsenal and?
Arsenal and Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Ooh. United are going to drop out.
I think United at fifth.
Ooh, interesting.
I'll take that.
So, you're not an Arsenal fan, Payne, but you used to live quite next to the Emirates, / in the Emirates.
Yeah.
So, you have a vested sort of sympathy for Arsenal, shall we say. What are their players going missing? Ozil and Giroud, got a lot of criticism, even though they combined for the goal, saying they went missing. Do you think that's the case? Do you think Arsenal's big players go missing? Or
I think that does Tottenham a disservice, actually, looking at the game. I mean, the way that Tottenham played was, I mean, they were up in their face, high tempo, controlled the game well. So I think as much as it's, the Arsenal players going a bit missing, it's the fact that Pochettino had them playing like Southampton played last year, that high tempo, high pressing, quick football, which has taken a while for Spurs to get on. And now they've actually, the first 15 games they didn't have Kane, and now starting, he was playing in the Europa games. And now, since then, they've got someone to put it in the net for them, along with that style of play.
It was almost like they forgot what they did against City, and just thought that Tottenham was, they were getting a walk over them or something. And it was like, oh no, we're still going to play our attacking options, and we're not going to defend properly. And then you got players like Harry Kane, who are on amazing form, like Barry said, one of the best forms players in form in this season, and you're not gonna put two at the back of two defensive midfielders. You're gonna take us all off.
Throw caution to the wing.
And not mark him at corners or
exactly.
Things. Like, so it's a bit. I think with Arsenal, I think it somewhat feels. I mean, a bit stale.
Are you on the Wenger out? I'm not on the Wenger out kind of.
Not, I'm not convinced that it'll be better if Wenger's out, but I mean, you had Ozil on the wing.
Yeah, Ozil and Welbeck.
I mean, he's been playing well out on the left, and you know, Welbeck does a job there.
Sorry for Danny Welbeck, who moved to Arsenal to play up front, and he's back on his wing.
I think just going back to Arsenal, but like tactically, I think they found this new way of playing against City, which clearly worked. I think for like how many years they haven't really dropped below 40% having possession, and then against City they had like 30-something%, but then obviously won. And then I feel like they tried to play a similar way against Spurs in that they tried to sit back, but then they're still sort of adapting to this new style. So they haven't been able to sort of work out how much to soak up and when to press, and then they didn't really have the right players to sort of counter attack Spurs. And I think for them, there was just a bit of confusion of how they're going to play. And then with that, Tottenham just took the upper hand and just took the lead of the game and absolutely destroyed them.
Right. We'll end there. That was a lovely answer to that, boys. That went on forever. A beautiful three-man answer. Anyway, let's move on. And we've got to talk about one man, and that's the one-man gang, Nigel Pearson. And he's been hitting the headlines this week, so we'll give him We'll have a little chat about him. A man so angry when he got all the James McArthur, even Alan Edbutt Pardew stayed out of it. Well, I didn't want any of it, Pardew. I'm like, come on, Alan. Not even Alan wants a bit of Nigel.
But it's strange. He was saying that they were just about to sign him as well, weren't they?
Apparently, in the summer, he tried to sign James McArthur.
He didn't go there.
In my head, what happened was he got him on the floor and he's like, I've got you now. You know what I mean? You signed for me now, I've got you by throat. Maybe a bit jokey, and he's gone.
He did look like he got hurt a little bit.
Yeah, he's old, you know what I mean?
But he's come into him with his into his knees.
Oh, he quite as into him, but it's not his fault, is it?
No, but that's not.
Yeah, it's an accident. It's not playful. It's like seeing your ex girlfriend with a new fella. It's just like, you can't really do anything, but you don't like him.
Yeah. You might be all right.
He's just like, you get your hands on the track, it's like, nice to see him, mate.
But, saying that commentator shouldn't be, you know, saying that it's not really much to commentate on, it is.
Yeah, you sort of wouldn't let him go, mate. You know,
there was a bit more in it than just, like, it does get
a bit where he's like, right, well, you've got all the Michelin now, so can I go, or are you just going to keep holding on?
That was the weird part. You can see some of the laughs, and then you're kind of like, and then you just wouldn't let him go, you're kind of like...
It's like when someone goes in, Phil Dowd is a fourth official,
he's the one who split him up.
It's like when someone goes in for a hug and just holds it for that fraction too long, it gets awkward, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm done now. Okay.
McArthur was like laughing. funny. Whoa, this is getting a bit awkward.
To be fair to Pearson, he is a man under a lot of pressure. Some of it rightly, some of it maybe wrongly. Leicester are bottom of the table, so.
Probably this is the start of his breakdown.
Yeah, it might be the start. And he did a bit of a Brian McDermott at Leeds pains and got sacked and then not sacked. So I wanted to just ask you, Payne, when it gets leaked that someone's going to be sacked, who, what, why, when, where, how do these... You know what I mean? Penny comes from a sort of place where leaks might occur.
What? Yorkshire.
Thanks. Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of the time when people are leaking things, it's because they've got an agenda and it's because they're... So, you know, if this is someone in the club who's, you know, got the eye, you know, wants to speed up the sacking of Pearson and they think it'll be a good idea, they, you know, sort of say, look, this is being discussed and it'll go. And then a journal goes and writes it up as if he's been sacked. And then all of a sudden we're seeing Sky Sports sources picking things up off Twitter as they do and then saying it's fact.
And then everyone copies it.
And things get out of hand, so you know this might be just someone in the club who's wanting to sort of speed things up, and it's in their interest to go talk to their sources and keep their fingerprints off it, making the ground rules quite clear, and going from there. And then you end up with situations where Sky Sports are saying he's been sacked, and then next week you won't be surprised if he loses and gets sacked.
Lovely answer, Payne.
Very true.
The kind of answer this show's missed, perhaps, or perhaps not. I got two looks up there.
Cheers. We'll be downstairs.
From one angry man. Oh, good result for Palace at Leicester. Palace playing some good stuff. from, well, you know, I can't mention, everyone.
No one wants to compliment Pardew too much.
Yeah,
do
exactly.
I mean,
Palace are doing all right. Yeah. from one angry man to another angry man, or a lot of angry men, the Merseyside derby, which was a bit of a stinker. I've got a tale of two Jordans for Liverpool. Jordan, I hate these names that are so short, they're not even worth saying. And he's one of them. Jordan Ibe.
I think it's Ibe, isn't it?
Jordan Ibe. Anyway, English looks good. Impressive debut.
Happy with it.
Yeah. Another English player we can...
He spanked one against the crossbar, didn't he?
He did. It'd have been a wonder post. Goal. Wonder post,
Let me say... I thought about this when you throw the youngsters in for their debuts in these massive games.
Yeah.
And is that must be on purpose because you're putting them into the cauldron, into the lion's den, where they're either going to sink or swim, really. And most of the time, because of the adrenaline that goes through you, that's got to give you that extra bit where, all due respect, if you played against Leicester at home, it wouldn't be the same intensity and the same feeling as you would to go in.
Maybe. He was on loan at Derby in the first half of the season, I think, and he had a pretty solid first half. And he'll have played in, you know, Derby, Forest, that kind of, you know, and there's no bigger rivalry.
Well, obviously, he wasn't
there is many bigger rivalries, but one of the biggest rivalries is, you know, Forest-Derby.
We put Mason in, like, his first game was Arsenal away. That was his first start.
Danny Rose scored a wonder goal, didn't he, on his debut against Arsenal.
I've seen a few people just being thrown in for their first game in these massive Derby.
Did Mason get man of the match on, sir?
That's Kane.
He played well, though. Should we go back to him? No, no. How do you feel about Kane being an Arsenal fan? Yes, an Arsenal fan. Photoed in an Arsenal shirt. Twice. Yeah, well, he was a kid, so he played for him. Yeah, we all did stupid things. Bobby can sympathise with this. Let's all move on from Harry Kane again. Another Jordan in the game was Jordan Henderson, a favourite of some people on the pitch. It does appear he'll start on anyone.
It seems like he's heard wind that when Gerrard goes, he's going to be made captain. He's the heir apparent. And now he's spending the rest of the season that he's going to prove he's Mr. Liverpool, Mr. I'm the hard man, I'm going to take control of the game, scruff of the neck. Mm-hmm. So he's picking on the hardest man on pitch every time he can.
I think he's seen the Thug Life videos. He's just trying to get as many Thug Life videos.
He's not as hard as that ball boy in Ronaldo, though.
Oh, yeah, that is brilliant. We'll put that on the Twitter. Anyway, John Stones back for Everton. Love to see a young English centre-back playing well, so I thought I'd give him a mention.
Performance.
Everton kept a clean sheet for the first time in 6 years, it seems, this season. So it's nice to see him back, and maybe he can win us another 3 World Cups with Jordan Ibe.
Another three.
And Harry Kane.
Right. You're Brazilian.
Maybe. Let's move on to Chelsea. We didn't talk about them first.
Yes.
As promised. I keep my promises. Or at least these ones. Chelsea moved 7 points clear. But more importantly, Aston Villa scored.
Yay! 11 hours.
A minute shy of 11 hours. Congratulations, Villa fans.
Well done.
Can Chelsea be caught now? 7 points clear. Fabregas and Costa to return. Have City blown it?
Well, yes. I mean,
yes.
Realistically, you're saying no. They're not going to be caught. But you know, we've seen. You know, you look at things like
a couple of seasons.
I mean, it's just mad sometimes, isn't it? No one would have said last year that Liverpool were going to go from where they were to, you know, being in control
and then throwing it away.
Wilfred
Bonny's going to have 20 goals by the end of the season. City colours.
Did anyone watch the African Cup of Nations final?
I saw the first 20 minutes.
It was hard work.
Switched it right
Yeah, don't watch the semi. Anyway, let's keep on Premier League. So, it's going to take something. City, moving on from Chelsea, well, you know what I mean, another sort of resolute Chelsea. Mourinho performance we've come to expect.
Mourinho moaning again, though, before the game in a press conference. Yeah. It's just getting boring.
Well, we covered a big chunk of Mourinho.
You should have listened it.
Yeah, Mourinho last week.
I've had lots going on.
I don't want to spend too much time on Mourinho, because, like we say, we speak about him all the time. We'll give him a week off. City, strikers, What's going on? What's going on, mate? All at home.
Well, we're lacking creativity, according to Pellegrini. And we've got Nasri.
You asked for Nasri to come back. I thought it were a good point. Nasri's back.
He's back. He's not looking sharp. Aguero's not looking sharp. Zeko's not putting it in the back of the net. Jovetic, I don't know what he does these days.
He's dropped Jovetic without Boney ever training for Man City, had he? Which has got to be a ringing endorsement for Jovetic.
Jovetic comes on and dances around the 18-yard box a bit. Never seems to want to penetrate. I mean, I've got faith in us. I think we'll do all right. Payne is laughing at penetration.
He's all foreplay and no penetration.
He is.
He teases you.
I think when Yaya comes back and Bonnie, I think that'll be interesting for us. Be nice to
see. Too little, too late though, maybe.
I don't think so.
Say he's coming.
I don't think so at all. I mean, I'm, you know, hopeful.
Cool.
I'm a City fan. Anything can happen.
Of course, it took a former Leeds United player, James Milner, to save everyone's season in terms of is the title over.
The man they don't want to give another contract.
The man out of contract. And let's be fair, that free kick was in practically insane, the last kick of the game and an awesome free kick.
So, I knew that was going in, by the way.
Did you think it was going in?
I knew it was going in.
Mystic so.
Well, he pulled City out of an enormous contract.
I think there'll be his agent will be definitely.
He's just added a few more grand to his.
They'll be mad to let him go, and he's the sort of player that the teams around City will be after as well. I mean, there's already talk of Liverpool after him, United.
There's an argument for him to start in as well in centre midfield, especially when Yaya Toure's away. You look a bit.
Yeah.
Just not Fernando, Fernandinho.
Listen, Bob, I'm up for it. Put him in there as well.
Well, City haven't won a game without Yaya Toure since April 2014.
Which is nearly a year. So
that's how important Yaya is.
Paul Pogba, are you listening? Get over to City. Come on.
Right, well, and a great point for Hull, who I've got a little soft spot for because they've got loads of English players, but that's all I'm going to talk about.
It was
about
a ridiculous goal, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Spurs reserves. That was immense. Pinball, wasn't it?
Bit of a pinball wizard. Let's move on to the scum. I mean, Man United, who I'm going to start calling Jurassic Park with Falcadocus and Van Persiedon up front because they are slow dinosaurs. You watch a United game, it's the tempo.
They've got no attacking fluidity.
The tempo of it, the slow. I mean, they literally resorted, and it got them a point, so. There's a lot to be said for that, and they are hard to beat, and there is a lot to be said to that. But it's not the attractive football that we used to have. It's not Man United, the United way. We all know, love, and hate.
Yeah,
but I think
too many players, there's no space for those quality attacking players.
Well, Van Persie and Falcao to me seem to operate in the same area of the field, and both of them not very effectively.
Then you've got Rooney and Di Maria and Januzaj maybe doing the same jobs as well.
Rooney's on the right wing, didn't have a touch in the West Ham penalty box all game. He can play there, but do you think he's right to be found out on the right? And then you've got Di Maria playing out of position as well. Maybe swap Rooney and Di Maria around at least, and that.
It's not until they put Fellaini on and started playing the long ball football, and then.
So
Rooney's a victim of his own versatility, isn't he? Because he's better than Falcao at the moment, but Falcao's got his name, and Rooney can play anywhere. If Rooney was just a number nine striker like that, he'd be up front. It'd be him and Van Persie up front, and Falcao would be struggling to get in the team.
Mm.
But at the moment, they're like, well, as long as Rooney plays, he might not be happy, but he can't really kick off if he's playing. So it's just in like this catch-22 situation.
So do you think it's a formation thing for United, Pains, or is it personnel? Do you think it's a bit of both?
They need a bit of a refresh up front. I can't see them keeping Falcao. I think he's on his way somewhere else, according to his agent. He'll only go to a top team. But
Falcao's agent must be the most talkative agent in all of agent land.
Yes, really, Falcao's not doing the talking.
Exactly. I think Van Persie. He's out of form. Has he got maybe a year left in him? You know, and Rooney, you know, should stay. Di Maria. But, I mean, they're resorting to this long ball playing, and, you know, I mean, it worked for them. Fellaini, not, you know.
To be fair, it worked. He got a point away from
apparently, him. I was reading today that they're on long balls played, they're behind only Burnley. So, They're not just a one-off, they are doing this as a...
But then Moyes gets loads of criticism and Van Gaal seems to... I mean,
a matter of time, you reckon, Sam?
Well, everyone's going to realise soon enough that it's not good enough. But that's what the United fans, I'm sure, don't want to see their team doing playing long ball football.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't. It might get results for now. And, you know, they'll listen to the Gary Nevilles as I'm useful and useful. But in the long run, they ain't gonna want to see that. I know I wouldn't want to see that.
Mm. So it'll come out because that group of four teams, Southampton, United, Spurs and Arsenal, as soon as you're like fifth and sixth, then you start worrying. Even though we're a point or two behind Southampton United, if United drop out, then there'll be more questions asked.
Yeah.
The longer United are in the top four, the questions aren't really being asked.
Yeah, and they are in it at the minute, to be fair, and we're more than halfway through the season. So, some interesting points there, boys. I wondered what your take on that was. I just want to talk QPR quickly, because we saw Harry Redknapp go for his knee operation.
Get well soon, Harry.
Charlie Austin's injured. Is there anything that can happen at QPR? What is your three-step plan, boys, between you for QPR to...
Drop Rio Ferdinand.
I think he's well dropped, Rio Ferdinand.
Still going to come back in for tomorrow.
Is there?
Defensive crisis. We've got Anua and Dunn are both out.
Oh, that's right. Dunn's injured as well, isn't he? Apparently been playing all right for QPR, which goes to show you the sort of mess they're in, really. Because there is only Charlie Austin.
Hey, what's up with Dunn?
Well, he's a good player, isn't he? But he's been around...
Years and years.
I mean, QPR have got literally Charlie Austin. And Fares alright.
Didn't they buy Zaratti and then try sending him
back? Yeah, tried sending him back for Matt Jarvis. Because we tried that Zaratti. Can we swap it for a Jarvis? Because,
QPR's transfer policy is just such a joke.
If you're a fan of football DVDs, I strongly recommend you watch the 4-year plan about how QPR was run for 4 years. It's one of the best DVDs you'll ever watch.
It's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix? Well, there you go. There's a little plug for Netflix.
QPR, are they going to hire Sherwood? Them hiring Sherwood is a funny... I think it's quite funny because
we're
a good team at Spurs.
We called it last week, didn't we? We said Sherwood's the favourite for every job that he doesn't get.
But I think the funniest thing would be if he doesn't get the job. I think it just works. It's funny if he does. Even funnier if he doesn't.
In QPR's defence, they only didn't score due to the unbelievable reactions of Fraser Forster.
Yeah, yeah.
That was some save.
It was a good save. Is there a question of Forster being ahead of Hart in terms of goalkeeping presence? Definitely leading the clean sheets this year, yeah?
11, I think. Yeah.
Admittedly, he's got a good back four in front of him, but... And Hart's not having a bad season. It's just quite interesting, really, isn't it, that we've got two keepers.
Yeah, I think they've both got to be pushed. Hart's been comfortable for a while.
Both prone to erraticness, as we saw with Forster a bit earlier on in the season. He sort of shipped a few goals when he came charging out, but which Joe Hart is as well. But it's good to have two keepers that are... I mean, they're both great shot stoppers, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's looking good for England all round at the minute. I'm quite optimistic on the England front. But anyway... It's time for the musicless, award-winning, MOBO award-nominated, it's Sam Things.
Sam Things.
It's a no-music edition of Sam's Things. Sam Connolly, you're a lover of life and a lover of men, correct?
I do love men.
And you love life.
I love life.
But more importantly, you love football.
That's correct. Really weird now.
Do you like football?
Yes, I love
Tell
football.
Tell me you do.
I do, I can, yeah.
But there are things that occur during football that you don't enjoy, are there? Is that not true as well?
That is true, very true.
Tell me what they are. Tell me some of
it's
these
things.
It's
not always things that I don't like. It's things that just...
Just make you think.
Just make you think.
Just sit and think.
Sam's music.
They're a bit out of the box.
Come on, Sam. Make us think.
They're a bit out of the box this week. Firstly, I think we should be able to... It's not ban. Ban one player I don't want it as harsh as ban, no. Ban one player from the African Cup of Nations a season. But you can't pick the same player every year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, well, obviously, so I'd have banned
Toure for a guy.
Because it's every year.
Every other year,
which is quite a lot.
Yeah,
you
know? No, I agree with that.
So, you know, what's wrong with that?
So, you're just saying, I want to ban Yaya Toure and no one else. One player.
Basically.
Yeah. Or is it one player per team?
One player per team.
Right.
You're just doing what West Ham did, basically. Yeah. Went, oh, yeah, Sako, he can't go anywhere if he's not in a limo. Yeah. Sorry.
And Africa is a bit
more. I mean, it's not going to be a very popular decision amongst.
It's not going to be for those national teams, but.
No.
They can take out
of my
all.
So how
do you think Yaya Toure is going to play for you, though, after you ban him from going and then he sees all his teammates going, you know, we won the African Cup of Nations, and Yaya's there going, I want allowed.
We'd get him a Bugatti. He'd be happy.
Yeah, a birthday cake and a Bugatti. Yeah, is the key to Yaya's heart. Any other Sam's things?
Right. I also think that... There should be a screen. I'm not too fond on this idea now, but maybe I'll still throw it out.
Throw it out there. There should be a screen. Into the public domain.
I mean, I'm talking about fan club relations.
Oh yeah, you mentioned this early in the year.
Yeah, so at half time, there's a screen where you can text ideas to the manager.
Right.
And so ideas. Who should be subbed on? Who should be subbed off? Little tactical thing, and he has to watch it.
Package of what the fans think about the first half.
Has to, and you get filtered in. I mean, there's not gonna be 50,000. Only the people in the stadium. But yes, to filter them out. Blah blah blah. And there'll be the head of the fan union.
Right.
Who filters them in?
You've got a great friend
union. There's a fan.
The supporters trust.
I'm staying with you. I'm staying with you.
Yeah, you're with me. And then he has to watch about 20 ideas and give us a shot.
It's got 15 minutes at half time.
Some fan suggestions.
It's a quick one. It's quick 1 minute. Quick 1 minute.
So someone just comes in and goes, Manuel, fans think you should put Milner on, let him take free kicks.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Having watched fan reactions on YouTube and having had one sent to me today as well, I'm not too sure that's a good idea.
No, neither am I.
Lovely. Well, on that note.
But I think Barry had about a Sam's thing.
I've got Sam's things.
He's got Sam's things.
I'm jumping in into Sam's things.
Swim in the pool of Sam's things.
Ready? Oh, it's nice. I feel angry already.
I wasn't very angry.
Ready? Goal nets. Make them white. White goal nets. I'm tired of coloured goal nets. Like, watching it was. I was going to do it last week, but I forgot it. And I was watching the Everton Liverpool.
They have blue goals.
They have blue goals. You can't see the blue net because there's blue fans in the background. There's blue advertising boards. When you hit a goal and you're in the top corner, you want to see it. You want to see it going in. It just looks like you're playing in the park. And then there's like net.
It's back to your youth, though, doesn't it? You know.
You want white nets. I want white deep nets. I don't want coloured shallow nets. I want it when it goes in the net. I want it to stay in the net. I don't want it bouncing back out.
Anyone who's just started listening now, this isn't a race hate rally. Yeah.
Nets.
I don't want those coloured nets. Fair enough. Coloured nets. Yeah. So you want all nets to be white?
Yes.
Even when it's snowing.
I don't think, to be fair, that's not
much of a demand, Barry, you know what I mean? That's not a lot to ask.
It's probably cheaper.
Cheaper than buying all that dye to dye the nets.
Net dye. Right, well, that was Sam's things. Let's move on to Frank the Plank. And this is the part of the show where we all pick a person from the week's footballing world. We talk about how they're a plank, and then I decide who the winner is. This week, we've already got an unplankable. I think we're all in agreement that Nigel Pearson should probably be unplankable for his James McArthur not letting go. Not the tangle, just the not letting him go.
Yeah.
Lovely. Cheers, boys. Right, so, Payne, dog, you're first back. Who's your nomination for Frank the Plank?
So this is part of a wider... hatred, but this is drawing on comments this week from BT Sports' very own Michael Owen,
great voice,
who's just inspiration to the young and the old alike.
It was a Sam's thing, didn't it? It was Michael Owen White.
Yeah. as I say, it's a drawing on wider points and a wider hatred.
He was coming out with some right ones.
This is the icing on the cake. This is a man who is paid. It is his job as a professional pundit to know things. Whilst the game is on, give a professional opinion. And this is a guy who, when Nasir Chadli entered the pitch on the Tottenham Arsenal game, he said, "This is Nasser Chadli returning from the African Cup of Nations."
Oh, yeah, he did say
that.
The
Belgian player, Nasser Chadli.
Yes,
he gets paid good money, I would hasten to add, probably from BT Sport, to know things. This is a player who's had a very sad time in his life at the moment, and you know, he's had a couple of weeks off because his dad died, right? And he's had coming back because he's been at the Africa. Oh my God, it just. Michael Owen, why?
A man who doesn't like films. Did you say that about Michael Owen?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, "I don't like films. I've only seen like 6 films ever." And he knew it. One of them was Seabiscuit as well.
Seabiscuit. Like, say Gambler as well.
If you want to laugh at Michael Owen, which most people do, I hasten and urge you to go out and watch on YouTube his advert for this weird car company. And also his advert for the Japanese whiskey, Spey Whiskey. They are pretty special.
Nice. Lovely.
Michael Owen, and if you're listening, Harry Kane, best get practicing your punditry skills, because in 20 years we might talk about you this way as well.
He's not going to be Frank the Frank, Bobby.
Barry's giving me them eyes again. Barry's Sam this week. anyway, good, Michael Owen. Good argument, Payne. Welcome back. Get well soon. Sam, who's your nomination?
I'm going to go for Yaya Toure.
Ooh.
Yaya, why?
Because he's so far away from me. So far away.
What, and if you Frank the Plank him, you'll feel like it's a bit like throwing his stuff out after you know what I mean?
Yeah, I want him back.
You want him back where he belongs?
Yeah,
well, you got him
back. Be faking injuries. He knows what happens to us. He knows.
We've seen it before.
He's in Africa, winning a blinking cup
it probably means a lot
about,
to him.
Yeah, they don't care about it. I don't care about it. I'm from Manchester. I don't care. No, but do you know what I mean?
Sam, where was this anger in Sam's things?
I don't know. I've always just found it. My Sam's things are rubbish.
Fair enough. So, Yaya Toure for going to represent his country.
And win. What's up with you?
Cool.
What's wrong?
Well, you know what I mean? It's another sheath to the... whatever. Barry.
That was this thing now.
Barry.
Right. Mine is definitely going to win. And if I don't win, I'll be very disappointed. Because it's not just one plank. It's a bunch of planks.
Oh, he's going for a multi-planker.
Ready?
Is it all three of us?
Arsenal. Bunch of planks.
I've got this one in the bag.
Bunch of planks, is that it?
Just it.
Well. Fair enough.
He's got you, though.
He's a Spurs fan. You can't pass up the opportunity to humiliate Arsenal anymore. They've already beat them in the derby. You know, Piers Morgan's had been shown up. You know, the poster boy of Arsenal fandom.
Come on, Bobby. Put the cherry on my cake, Bobby. Make him the planks. Make him Frank the Plank, Bobby.
I'm drawing on everyone's collective hatred of Michael Owen's punditry.
We all know the winner's Payne.
Let's be fair.
It's Michael Owen. I can't put a full... Right. That's putting like 6 million people in... 6 million people in... what's it called? The plank. I can't write 6 million people down.
And some people might be Arsenal fans who listen.
Sam, I can't put Yaya Toure in.
Why? Why?
This is the angry man we know.
Why?
He's back.
Great, boys. We've got 5 minutes left if we go into the 45-minute threshold that people probably can stomach this for. So,
hiya, Dom.
Shout out to our people who make it this far.
We love you
and we appreciate it. We're going to talk players who've been space jammed. Payne, would you like to explain the space jam theorem?
So space jamming is essentially We're going to assume you've all seen Space Jam, the classic.
The classic movie, Space Jam.
When the Monstars all steal the powers of the NBA players so that they've got, and then they're good, and then all of the NBA players are left, like, in the league being terrible, and no one knows why. So it's like when a player's really good and then just completely loses it.
We've got it.
They're Space Jammed.
Right. Yeah. So, with that Space Jam theorem in mind, who is... let's just throw some names out there. Space Jams of
Shevchenko.
Past, present and future. Shevchenko is one, Sam. Definitely a Space Jam.
Another Chelsea striker. Fernando Crespo? Torres.
Torres, Crespo, you could say. Crespo, yeah.
See
a lot of Chelsea strikers in there.
Let's throw some Liverpool in it.
Lovren.
Balotelli.
Lovren and Balotelli from the stars of this season. Lovren. Space Jam. Lovren was quality last season. Yeah. He actually was quality.
The Spanish World Cup team of 2014.
Yeah, all jams. Of them. Space Jam.
No, it's a Spanish striker, Soldado.
Space Jam.
Third top goal scorer to Messi and Ronaldo in La Liga.
Which takes some doing because they score a million goals a game each.
Fact.
Whenever he signs a new contract, Adebayor.
Space Jam.
Emil Heskey when he went over to Newcastle Jets.
Nice. David Bentley.
David Bentley,
15 million. New Beckham. Then party boy. Went to a team in Russia.
He's just retired now, hasn't he, Bentley? He was like,
I was
just
about to get in the team as well.
I hate football. Just like, I don't even like football. I'm off.
Yeah, he's got an amazing trick though. I see on YouTube. He kicks a ball off the top of a housing block into a skip down there.
That's what he's been doing for the last 3 years.
Yeah. He does it for
street hustling. I bet I can kick that.
Scott Sinclair.
Benched.
Yeah.
And the other one. David Bent. Jack Rodwell. Who I, when we won the league 3 years ago, was running around the pitch of the Man City pitch, and Jack Rodwell was. Everyone had mobbed all the players, and Jack Rodwell was on his own walking around. No one had even noticed who he was. So I gave him a hug.
Someone thought he was a fan.
And on that somber Jack Rodwell note, Sam befriending Jack Rodwell when he should have been.
He's always on the city pitch, is Sam?
Yeah, he is.
Always on the pitches, mate.
Some people on the pitch, pundit who's always on the pitch. And with that, we'd usually have some music to play you out.
People are on the pitch.
But we ain't got no music. Think it's all so over. Say bye, Barry.
Bye, Barry.
Say bye, Payne.
Bye.
Bye, Sam.
Bye, you.
And bye, you, from Street Fighter. See you later.
Bye.
Hey, you can.
Thanks for listening.